This morning, for a title, I have Principles of a Godly Home. I was asked to speak on this subject a few weeks ago. I'd like to share it here. Principles of a Godly Home. And I wasn't sure where to go for a text verse. I like to have a springboard where I can bounce from, go off of. And I thought of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. And as I thought of this verse, as I thought of our godly homes this morning, I have a desire that our example of faithfulness can be passed to the next generation. How sad for a faithful grandfather and father, or etc., to somehow, through the cares of life or the rejection of the young boy or girl, we have a generation gap where the children no longer value the principles of the Word of God, and it's lost. And that's really sad. And then we think of eternity. And I think any of one of you who are parents this morning have a vision to see your children in eternal life. And I had to think how sad it would be if one of our children was missing. And this morning, I believe the principles of the godly home or a godly home have a tremendous impact on the way our children will respond to life. And this morning, I do believe that a person has a personal choice. I don't want to take that away. But there's something about that influence that is very helpful. And so this morning, I just want you to think about that as we go through this message. The faithfulness passed on from one generation to the next. And can it be said, many generations later, my grandfather, my forefathers were faithful. And today, we still claim that faithfulness. Principles of a Godly Home. I have recognized anew that the Bible speaks very explicitly about this subject. And I plan to read quite a few verses from the Bible. It just lays it out so nice. And there's many things that you could wrestle with as you think of a subject like this in regards to what should you share, what shouldn't you share, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. And the Bible really lays some things out nice for me. And so I'm going to come back to that. Also, this subject can branch out into so many other aspects of life. And so, you know, when you cover something like this, there's so many avenues that you can go into. And so it could feel like maybe we're off-roading a little bit and overlapping as well, because it does both, because it intertwines with each other, but at the same time, there's a broad aspect to cover. And I pray that God could give me courage to share what He lays on my heart this morning. Three parts to the message. First of all, why is a message like this so important? Secondly, what is the big deal, whether a home lives by principle or not? And thirdly, principles of a godly home, and I like to look at nine of them if I have time. Why is a message like this so important? I have 7 points. Number one, our carnal nature tends toward breaking principles. If you go to Exodus, I believe it's Exodus 20, you will read, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Why? Well, there's a reason, because that's the very thing that we tend to do. And when we think of our homes, we want to break the principles of the home. No, we maybe don't want to, but the carnal nature tends to want to, okay? Number two, the influence of untruth society presents a temptation for us to weakening or disregarding principle. That's really sad, but you know, the Christian can't look at the world and build a model off of home life. And of course, we expect that. But I want to give you an example of this. You know, I think probably the older generation maybe had a little more of a abhorrence for divorce and remarriage than maybe us as a younger generation does. But when homosexual came in, this was terrible, okay? It was just, it was awful. And in doing so, there's a tendency to look at divorce and remarriage as maybe not quite as bad anymore. See what I'm saying? And through the generations of time, when you see it happening, when it's all around us and people are doing it, for some reason, we don't seem to view it maybe with the same as God does. Let's put it that way. Now, don't get me wrong. We do believe divorce and remarriage are wrong, but it could appear maybe of a lesser evil, okay? And so it has that tendency to rub off on us and not look as bad. And we need to be aware of that. Number three, the home gives foundational influence to one's direction of travel. And, you know, as we look at our children, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years up and on, those crucial years of our children are when they're young. You know, you try to deal with an 18-year-old that's rebellious, you got a problem on your hands. But you know what? If it's a 3-year-old or a 2-year-old, you can work with that. And you can work with an 18-year-old as well, but they have their way set. There's a different aspect about that. But our young ones will give in to training and discipline, which is harder for an older person. Number four, the strong attacks of Satan against the home. You know, I believe this morning that Satan is trying very desperately to destroy the home. And he's doing a good job at it. And that is one of the reasons why we are at where we're at in our society is because the failure of the home in teaching principles to their children. And we could talk about our schools as well, that whole influence, that whole training. Satan is against that. And even Trump recognizes that in order to preserve something, you need to teach it in school. He recognized that and understand our values are different, a little different. We're big different, but he understands that concept. And this morning, if Satan can attack the home and destroy the home, he has got the people in the society. Just works that way. Number five, the younger generation growing up and establishing homes. And we want to see that. We want to see our young people grow up. We want them to see them follow God's will. We want to see them go into courtship and into marriage and build homes of their own. That's important. But that is one of the reasons that we need to keep preaching the principle. That's why we need to keep coming back to the Word of God, because we have a younger generation that's coming along that needs to know where they stand and what the Bible teaches and what the truth is about the Word of God. Because if they don't have that, their home will be built on wrong principle. Number six, God desires holiness of life in a relationship with Him. We're talking about principles of a home. Obedience to God is needed for the blessing of the home. This morning, if you have a home that is following the principles of the Word of God, you can eat at the table together in peace. It's just how it works. But I would hate to be eating with some families with the disrespect and the disregard and the anger and the bitterness that goes on home at home. Why? Because they're not following principle. Number 7, God desires our children to grow up in an environment they can handle. Breaking principle puts children in a situation too big to process. And I feel for our children. When I think of broken homes and bad homes, I feel for the children of them homes, because those children are not made to handle the anger, the disrespect, and all the confusing things that go in the home. They don't know what to do with that. And I feel for them. This morning, God wants our children to grow up in an environment that they can be blessed and can enjoy life, and they can look back in their life and say, growing up was a blessing. I just have some good memories. It was a treasure. It was a blessing. And I'm afraid this morning that there's many children that look back at their home life and can't say that. And my heart goes out to them. We know it's not the end of the road, but it's a link that will probably go with them for life, and there'll be a hurt and a void there that they'll need to have Christ fill. Second part of my message, what is the big deal whether our homes live by principle or not? I have 4. Number 1, principle determines the blessing of God in our home. And we talked about that some already, but it's just that simple. Is God's blessing on your home or isn't it? Are you following principle or aren't you? Number 2, broken principles are hurtful to the couple. You know, God wants a married relationship and a family relationship to be that of peace and joy. No, it's not all about having a good time, understand that. It's not about never having a difficult time, but it's working through it, moving forward. And I think there's many couples who miss the joy of God intended for their relationship because of broken principles. Number 3, children become the victims of suffering. And I know there's not really anybody here that's innocent, and yet we think of a child as innocent. We all have sinned, and we all come to the age of accountability, but children become victims of suffering. They can't help if dad comes home and he's drunk and angry and mad, and he's throwing the beer bottles and swinging the bats and etc., yelling at his wife, yelling at the children, and they're hiding under the couches, and you know the picture, or you might know it. Sad. Number 4, it is a poor reflection and testimony to others. You know, our homes and our marriages ought to be something that the world looks in and says, I can see God in it. I can see peace. I can see joy amidst the suffering or the circumstances. And we know that marriage represents Christ in the church. And if that's broken, if that's lost, what does a Christian have to offer? Not a whole lot. Thirdly, principles of a godly home. I like to speak about 9 of them. And I want you to think about the big picture that makes all the points come together. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 2. Principles of a godly home. Number 1, established by God. I'd like to read Genesis chapter 2, starting at verse 18 through 25. And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air. And he brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and to all the fowls of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. I'm going to come back to that later. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and he shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. And we see here that the home was established by God, and I'd like to think about three things. You could probably get more out of this passage, but under this point, three things. Number one, male and female. Or I could say A, male and female. God created male and female. And that is a principle of a godly home. And this morning, children dealing with parental same-sex marriages or needing to decide their gender is a confusion. And it is hurtful and it is harmful. And the perversion of homosexuality and lesbian lifestyle is an abomination to God. Principles of a godly home. And I'd like to just look at that negative just a little bit. You can turn to Leviticus chapter 18, and I guess I'll let God speak what he thinks about some of these things. Bear with me, I don't like to have a lot of passages just to look up because I generally can't find them very fast. So if you can bear with me on that, Leviticus 18 and verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even the women did change the natural use into that which is against natural. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And we see this lifestyle puts God out of the picture. You see that in that verse. And let's turn to Genesis. Let's turn back to Genesis 19. I'm going back and forth here a little bit. Genesis chapter 19, we can see here the judgment of God on Sodom and Gomorrah. Starting in at verses 24. And the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew the cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities, that which grew upon the ground. And so we see the hatred that God has. And so the principle here is male and female. B, or secondly, marriage only between humanity. Now we could go back to Genesis chapter 2. I noticed that, I made note that we'll come back to him, that when Adam was naming the animals, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And this morning, marriage is only between humanity, not animal to animal or man to animal. To bring creatures and people to an equal plane is a direct violation to the principles of God. And this morning, I just want to give warning to that because I have sold puppies in my life, and I was a little appalled at selling them because of the responses I got. And I'm not saying I wouldn't do that. But the way they treat the dogs and the animals as one of their own family members, and the kisses and the hugs, and I will never part with it, and etc., I just give a warning to that, that it seems we're living into a society that has a wrong or an unhealthy emotional connection to animals. And I'm concerned about that. We have dominion over the animals, but there's boundaries set up. see. We also see from this in Genesis chapter 2 is unashamed intimacy. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. And we have this speaking of blessing, of closeness, of permission, a relationship that God can bless, a relationship between a husband and a wife. And again, we could look at the world and the tendency of man, and we see that today there needs to be a continual teaching on this, a concern, because marriage relationship is no longer a sacred relationship, but it's one of many or others. God does not bless that. Principles of a godly home established by God, and we looked at a few of those things that God can bless. Number two, principles of a godly home, number two, is marriage. We have the words, the witnesses, and the consummation that make a covenant. I like to turn to Proverbs 18, verse 22. Let's see what the Bible says about marriage. Proverbs 18, verse 22. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. And we have here, it advocates a blessing toward companionship and marriage. Let's go to 1 Timothy 5, verse 14. We're speaking of marriage here, what God thinks about this. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give not occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. And we could turn to John chapter 2, and that's where Jesus was at a wedding of Cana. And it gives the idea that he promotes weddings. It's a blessing. And this morning, there's a growing trend in our culture to just live together without a commitment. I like to say this morning, living together is not good enough. It is a breakdown of principle. There's an insecurity there. There's a lack of commitment. Marriage is a vow to God and a commitment to each other to make the home work as a unit responsible to each other. And if you don't have that, it's not going to work properly. Marriage, a principle of the Word of God. And maybe I'll just add here, the Bible also speaks of a man and a wife leaving and clinging to each other. And I don't like when I look at a family or a neighbor home or anywhere that you go to and you wonder who all lives there. You wonder if uncle lives there and you wonder if cousin lives there and you wonder who else lives in the home. And how many grandchildren? I think it's a breakdown. Breakdown of principle. Number three, worship. Principles of a godly home is worship. Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I believe worship needs to be a priority in our homes. Our worship to God needs to bring mom and dad to reality of the importance of principle. You know, it helps give us, as parents, a stable directive to walk by. You know, the children who grow up in a home with principle and worship to God, there's a home there that there's love, there's respect for the parents. Worship is like an anchor for our homes. And you can picture a boat out in the water, and it's stormy, and without an anchor, that boat is rocked to and fro. And it's the same way with a home. When you don't have an anchor, when the home doesn't have an anchor, when it doesn't have a principle to come back to, that home is swayed and washed, and it's very unstable. Worship is like an anchor for the home. When the evil influences and the bad circumstances push against the home, it can stay firm. Worship gives his rightful place and responds in obedience, even when the responsibility at hand may seem difficult. And we know, of course, there's many things that want to get us away from God, isn't there? I can give you a whole list. Technology, work, selfish desires, news media, ungodly music, entertainment, or working hard to destroy the home. They are a threat to a foundation of the home. Trying to distance the relationship between us and God and our families. This morning, we need a family altar to come back to time and time again so we can look what the Word of God says. And so Dad can read in there. It says, oh, I'm not supposed to get upset at my wife and my children. Oh, I'm supposed to love my wife. Oh, thou shalt not do this. Oh, we have some boundaries set up. See? Comes back to principle. You probably heard the quote, the family that prays together stays together. There's something about that. And maybe I'll just add here a sharing together, a family relationship, sharing together. And it can be personally, it can be on a home level, it can be on a church level. But it's all pulling together for the purpose of principle, to help our lives and to help our children have good influences and a foundation to which they can build their home when they come to that age and that responsibility and that calling in their life. Number 4, principles of the home, is a sexual relationship. Proverbs chapter 5. I like to read verses 15 through 19. The Bible gives us some very explicit language. Proverbs 5, 15 through 19. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad in the rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind in a pleasant row. Let her breasts satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. I think I'll stop there, and I would like to turn now to 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7, I like to read verses 1, possibly to 5. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1 through 5. Now concerning the things thereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourself to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. And Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. And we have here an exclusive relationship and accountability between the husband and wife. This morning, God created the husband and the wife to meet each other's sexual needs. This is a holy and important relationship, and this relationship is for both. It is not to be used for a means of manipulation, but rather to show love, support, and to draw the hearts together. God has created a sexual relationship to be a blessing and to have a strengthening effect to marriage. It's a principle of a home. It's for a purpose and a reason, and God created it. Number 5, roles. Principles of a godly home are roles. And we have here, man provides leadership and love. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 33. And maybe I will add here that the man provides leadership and love, and the woman supports and submits to her husband. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particularly so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Verse 18 and 19. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And so we have roles here. Why? For the purpose of principle and for caring for the home properly. We also have another concept. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And so we have the roles, and when you mix these roles up and you shake them up and you have them wrong, it brings chaotic. Recently, I had read on the news of something that had happened, and the wife had came home from her long day at work, and she found her husband in the house being unfaithful. And she was so mad, she hit him, and she threw his instrument at the wall and made a hole in the wall. And then later I read that the woman was arrested. It made me so angry. Made me so angry that the man wasn't brought to justice, but the woman was. But that's the society we live in. But as I thought of that, I realized, I softened a little bit because I realized that the roles were broken before that. There is a reason the Bible says the woman is to be the keeper of the home. And when the roles are broken, it opens a temptation for boundaries to come out of place. The roles are an important part of our Christian home, and I believe we as men need to be the leaders, and our wives need to support us, and we need to love our wives and respect them, and they in turn support us. And we need to teach our children obedience, and our children need to respect dad and mom, and it helps the home go smoothly. Number 6, principles of a godly home is morality. And this point here, I'd like to speak a little more about boundaries. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Again, the Bible gives some very explicit instruction. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. We're talking about boundaries, principles of a home. A home has boundaries to go by to help it go smooth and peaceful. Verse 27 from Matthew 5, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And so we see here that the Bible teaches against lust, which leads to adultery or fornication if unchecked. And so as men, we need to continually guard our minds and come back to principle. The Bible teaches against polygamy. Two wives make a breach in loyalty. Or you can go back to Jacob and Esau, or I should say Rachel and Leah. And the confusion that brought to have two wives. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4. The Bible teaches against pornography and masturbation. Chapter 4, verses 3 through 7. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have also forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. And I think I'll stop there. And also the Bible is relating to boundaries, teaches about modesty. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 9 and 10. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. And so I like to say the man is responsible to guard his mind, and the woman is responsible to dress herself properly. Boundaries. Well, we live in a world of availability to perversion, whether pornography, pornographic photos, videos, chat lines, adult storage clubs, or illicit sex. I want to tell you something. These entanglements will wreck a home. They will wreck good relationships. And the images are very difficult to put out of one's mind. Ungodly indulgence will be unrealistic and makes right sex appear dirty and boring. Violation to these boundaries will result in broken relationships, often leading to anger, bitterness, and mistrust. Boundaries on morality help give us a home and atmosphere of trust, respect, and love. Principles. Number 7 is procreation. The Bible commands reproduction, and I guess I'll just go back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And if I go back a few chapters later, Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, we see God speaking to Noah, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. The Bible commands reproduction. And I just want to give a caution to the fact that I think there's the attitude that pregnancies are too hard to go through and too painful to cope with, because I believe it is God's design. And I believe we read that verse maybe in 1 Timothy 2:15. I would that the younger women marry and bear children. And it's a part of God's plan, but we live in a society that wants to get away from all pain. It's not really what God intended. Children are an heritage and a reward. Psalms 127. I'll read a few verses from that passage. Psalm 127. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies of the gates. And so I'd like to say that children have potential, and they help good relationships. And the influence that we're under today is that children are a bother and a nuisance. And I think we need to guard against that. And I get so tired of my children digging out stuff and putting it in the way and making me almost stumble over things, but that's part of it. You got to teach them to put things away. It's what God wants. A home without children can feel like something is missing. Roles, principles. Number 8, nurturing, teaching, and the discipline of the children. Let's turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 13. Proverbs 10, verse 13. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but the rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. 13:24, Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. And there's more, but for the sake of time, I think you got the point there. Discipline, nurturing, teaching, and discipline of children. And we need to do it with the right attitude. I believe Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 calls the father not to provoke his children to wrath. There's a detriment that happens when the father is angry. Teach your children the graces of obedience, kindness, and respect. You know, to allow our children's temperament to go where it wants is abusive, because if you do that, you know, you really have to yell at the child to get him to listen to you, and that's abusive as well. And you know what I'm talking about when you look around and see the abuse that's happening by yelling. Teach the children the facts of life. Teach the truth. There's simple, basic way to inform your children that will take care of the greater curiosity of their life. Don't tell them that babies come from storks. Don't do that. Tell them the truth. Teach them that those conversations stay with mom and dad and the little ones, not with each other. Teach your siblings, or your children, I should say your children, teach your children to respect siblings' bodies, its boundaries. Teach children the consequences of sowing and reaping. You know, I work with older men, with young, teenagers, and some of those have not learned the consequences of sowing and reaping, and they do not understand that the consequences that can happen because they've got away with things, and they always think that, well, I'll get away with it again. Nurturing, teaching, discipline of children. And number 9, roles, is the permanency of marriage. One man, one woman for life. Matthew chapter 5. I'm having a hard time covering this. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 31 and 32. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. And we could look at numerous other passages that would show to us the permanency of marriage, and that's a real blessing for our children. And my heart goes out to the children who have to face with broken homes and wondering where daddy is and why did you divorce him and what's going on and when is he coming back and all that. I'd like to give a concern for separation, 1 Corinthians 7. I'm not sure that I'm going to say a whole lot, but I don't think that this should be walked in from a Christian perspective in a very easy way. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 10, "And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband pray his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother have a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but the Lord has called us unto peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband, or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife?" And I like to go down to verse 39. "The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord." And this morning, if you feel like you grew up in a home that was bad, my heart goes out to you. I'm sorry for that. Find someone that you can put yourself under, a good home or leadership, where they can teach you a different home life, different concept, different principles.